Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Thank you.
Our lesson this morning is recorded in the 51st Psalm, beginning at the 10th verse. The words of this lesson are familiar to you from the common order of service, those words which we sing right after the sermon there. And I'm going to read these words rather from the King James Version, which is closer to the form that we use in the liturgy. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These words from David's great psalm of repentance are the quintessential prayer of the child of God. David has acknowledged his sin, not only his wicked deed, but also that he has been a sinful creature from conception in his mother's womb. He trusts God's promise to blot out all his iniquities, and he knows that in God's sight he is justified. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow, he says. The child of God, like David, knows that his sins are forgiven, and like David, stands before God in repentance and faith. Martin Luther observed that after this confession, the psalm turns to the life of the believer through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To live the life of repentance and faith does not come from my work, for I only stumble and fall day after day. God's child knows that this too is solely by God's grace. St. Paul wrote, "Now may he who has begun the good work in you complete it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this is the gift and the working of the Holy Spirit. Everything that the psalmist asks, he asks God to do. Create in me, renew a right spirit, cast me not away, take not your Holy Spirit from me, restore to me, uphold me with your free spirit. Everything that I need, God must do. He alone has the power to hold me up. These are not works that the believer works in himself. They are gifts, outright gifts. They are free gifts. They are not products of the Christian's newfound strength, but they come from God's free grace. And the psalmist makes it clear where one is to find this. Three times in the space of three verses, the believer is sent to God's Spirit. That is how God will give these gifts, through his Holy Spirit, who comes to do his work through the word of promise, through the word of the gospel. At the end of the psalm, David repeats once again how powerless he is, and he acknowledges that it is God alone who does this work. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. My spirit, broken in sorrow over my sin, trusts alone in God's powerful spirit to work all good within me. To him alone be the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day